This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome to the Galaxy Wars podcast. We're your host, The Grays. And this episode, we're moving from Blade Runner, the futuristic tones in Blade Runner, moving into the futuristic tones of the new Netflix series called Altered Carbon. 10-episode season. All episodes are available on Netflix. And this episode, we are going to review episode number one, Out of the Past. But before we get into that, we have to give you the little premise of what Altered Carbon is. And Altered Carbon is set in a future where consciousness is digitized and stored. A prisoner returns to a life in a new body and must solve a mind-bending murder to win his freedom. So what did you think of the premise going into the series?
I really didn't know a lot about it until you told me about it, but I liked it. And I saw a lot of reviews saying it was close to
Blade Runner,
which is weird because we just reviewed that. And it was like, well, you know, I guess we're just doing a Blade Runner. But I kind of thought it was closer to Total Recall than Blade Runner.
Yeah, the hallucinations.
Yeah, it felt different than Blade Runner. But I could see it. It's like it's lit the same way as Blade Runner kind of was.
Yeah, you don't know who's who in this situation, kind of like with the replicants.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people bashing it for it being a Blade Runner ripoff.
Yeah. But I just think it has the same like aesthetic and look as Blade Runner. I don't think it really, story-wise, I don't think it relates that much to Blade Runner. I didn't feel that.
Yeah, I don't think they're not producing replicants. They're just putting consciousness into sleeves. And I think the other side of this is that people are saying that there's so much content that resembles Blade Runner out now, but that's what future thinking is. That's what a lot of this future sci-fi is all reminiscent of Blade Runner.
Well, I think, you know, when you do something groundbreaking, you know, everything's kind of going to, whether you want it to or not, it's going to resemble,
you know,
that's why a lot of things resemble, you know, Doctor Who, things are going to resemble. It's got 50 years of history. And same with Star Trek and even Star Wars. Everything looks like a trope when lined up against it. So,
yeah, if you were to watch The Next Generation and throw in Orville, they're complete complements to each other.
Yeah, so I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, neither do I.
You know, and I think they're different enough where you don't just sit there thinking, oh, I'm just watching a Blade Runner clone.
Yeah.
No pun intended, but.
And you get more emotion in this series than you get from Ryan Gosling in Blade Runner 2049.
Joel Kinnaman's actually pretty good in this.
Yeah.
I liked him. He's been a shining spot in all the bad movies he's done. Because, I mean,
Suicide Squad
was bad. And I actually liked RoboCop.
Yeah, I liked RoboCop too. I thought that was really good.
You know, it critically panned, which means nothing. But I liked him in that. I thought he was good.
Chelsea's watched The Killing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which had him and then Kristen Lehman.
So I'll say this about him, though. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's jacked, too.
He's shorter than I am.
Really?
He
looks tall and lanky.
Yeah, when he stood next to, what's her name, Martha Hilgaretta, I was like, oh my God, he's a tower.
Yeah.
And I IMDb'd him, and he's only 6'2".
Wow. Well, so he carries it like he's taller, but he looks, in some scenes in this, he looks like a jacked DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
Like DJ Qualls' bigger brother.
Yes, he does. And there's a lot of butt scenes for Joel Kinnaman in this. So
the ab V.
Yep.
Like, they do show.
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity in the series. So this is a hard MA.
Yeah, this is a penis heavy show. And
I think the second episode there's a dick dangling. But the rest of the cast, like Tom said, we have Joel Kinnaman, you know him for Suicide Squad, and he plays Takahashi Kovacs.
Yeah, let the names throw you in this. It's a kind of a weird thing.
Yeah,
they don't mean as much as you think they do, because. Well, we'll get into it.
Then we have Martha Hilgaretta from Royal Pains, who plays Officer Kristen Ortega. Antonio Marizale, who plays Isaac Bancroft, the young son of our antagonist. James Purefoy, who plays Lawrence Bancroft. You know him from The Following.
Okay.
He's from the Kevin Bacon series. The before-mentioned Kristen Lehman from The Killing, who plays Lawrence Bancroft's wife, Miriam Bancroft. Chris Connor, from American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gian Versace, plays Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And then we have Hiro Kanagawa from The X-Files, Dark Matter.
Ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's been in Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, Captain Tanaka.
Yeah. And he's your... After... Who was the Japanese guy they would always go to back in the day? Played Shang Tsung.
Oh, yes. James Han.
Yeah. Is that his name? He was like the go-to Japanese guy.
I don't think that's his name. I think that's the old man from Balls of Fury.
Oh.
He's got a very Japanese name.
Yeah. But he was the go-to... Like, the guy... Whoever played Shang Tsung, the first one, I think it was the only one he was in. But that was like the go-to Japanese actor. Yeah. And I think this guy, Hiro Kanagawa, kind of took over for him a little bit as the go-to. Like, if you want, like, a traditional stern Japanese actor, this is a good guy to go to. And I think they, you know, that's kind of a common thing now.
Yeah. So what do you think of this cast that they've accrued?
Well, you know, I don't know who any of them are.
That's good, right?
Well, you know, some people, these are sort of household names. Like, to reference your other podcast where you did fan casting for Marvel on the Active Geek, I didn't know who a lot of the actors were.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch that much. Like, so I'm not, like, from 2005 on, I really don't know who's been in what.
Yeah.
So I didn't know a lot of these people, and I couldn't, you know, I don't know. But after watching it, I think everybody fit their role pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I liked watching them, and I think they, you know, they're not a cast of nobodies, but in a way they kind of are.
Yeah, I only knew Joel Kinnaman from Suicide Squad and RoboCop. I knew James Purefoy from maybe four episodes of The Killing, or not The Killing, The Following that I saw.
Okay.
And I knew Hiro. That was it.
Yeah. It might be the same for me,
And the guy who plays the original Takashi Kovacs.
Yeah.
That's Yao Fei from Arrow.
Yeah.
So I was very excited when I was like, oh my God, it's Yao Fei. So he did get off of Lian Yu. So it's fantastic. But episode number one, again, is called Out of the Past. And this is the main premise. Waking up in a new body 250 years after his death, Takashi Kovacs discovers he's been resurrected to help a titan of industry solve his own murder. So it's kind of a Sherlock-y kind of detective case, you think, right?
Yeah, and we should say there will be probably unavoidable spoilers because you got to give away a lot to talk about this show.
Yeah, I kind of plan on spoiling this whole episode.
So, yeah, if you haven't watched or don't plan on it, if you don't plan on watching, then listen away. Nothing's going to ruin it. But if you haven't watched, I think spoilers are unavoidable because there is a lot of plot twists.
Yeah, absolutely. And it starts off with a really cool kind of intro, with the snake going everywhere and then turns into a dragon. What does that signify? You've seen the first and the last episode.
Yeah.
So
that's I made the mistake of watching the last episode first. It's on his arm.
Yeah, but he got it. Was that on the back of the original Takashi?
Yeah. Because
he was real tatted up.
Yeah. So, I think, and it's an Ouroboros, right? Mm-hmm. The snake eating the... I don't know. So, I think... it's the name of a Red Dwarf episode, but an Ouroboros is like eternal.
Yeah. Like infinity.
Yeah. It's another sign for infinity.
Yeah, and that's what it
is. So I think this is like, they live infinitely.
Yeah, and he's, like, in the beginning, it's the whole entrance to the show. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, it's weird. Like, there's futuristic. Like, there's, like, oyster-looking microchips coming out. And then there's a snake. And then the snake turns into a dragon. And then there's a naked body. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, it's sensory overload. And then Joel Kinnaman is in the downtown, what looks like Thailand, but I know it's... Not Thailand.
It could be anywhere, though, because the way they travel.
Yeah.
Like, there is no... It's a one-world kind of UN governs the world.
Yeah, and I think most of it takes place in... It's called Bay City.
That could be San Francisco.
And we saw the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz Prison.
Yeah, that's right. That's right,
So he's getting that tattoo, but I can't... You know, out of all, like, the jiu-jitsu that was going on in the first part of the episode with the original Takashi, I didn't pick up on if that was his tattoo on the back. But that tattoo comes back multiple times.
Yeah, and he gets it tattooed on his arm
yeah.
while he's just chill. I don't know.
Looked like the easiest tattoo I've ever seen.
Quiet. They were just spraying it on, basically. Yeah.
All right, so the episode pretty much gives you, through narration, that nothing is what it seems.
Right.
And it goes into a really weird shower sex scene. Like, that's your intro to the show. That's what I wrote down. Weird shower sex scene, and they're washing blood off of each other.
They are.
And that's Takashi and another random woman. And
We find out through flashbacks and everything else, and not like a hazy flashbacks. Flashbacks are real fleshed out.
Yeah.
Like, this is another merc that he's working. He's a merc, and he's called an envoy. And envoys are like these super soldiers, for lack of a better term, that can be dropped in anywhere. Boom. They get dropped in, and like they just through observation. Like, they're highly tuned observationalists. Yeah. They could learn languages and learn how people deal with each other, learn how the money system
works. How to manipulate people.
Yeah. They're like the ultimate spy. They are, like, you know, Black Widow and Avenger should, you know, tries to be.
And
so
they can do the work of multiple men just by themselves, I guess.
Yeah, you don't need, you don't need to send in covert spies and, you know, soldiers. These could do both. And the way the system is set up, the altered carbon, they call it the stack.
Yeah.
Is there, like, basically their brains are downloaded into chip.
A microchip.
And then the way they would use the envoys is they would put bodies, like,
skins.
Skin, or sleeves.
Sleeves, yeah, that's right.
And the sleeves would be, like the best, like, you know, the best money could buy, basically, like, you know, they're in the best shape. They have, you know,
if you wanted to be LeBron, and you had enough money, you could become LeBron.
And they have upgrades, like they're stronger, faster, you know. Yeah. And so they would download their consciousness wherever they were into these sleeves. So you have a soldier immediately in zone. So.
Yeah. And the whole story, when I was reading about it before it got announced, like they were saying that it was going to be announced, you had it was saying that the rich are untouchable, they're immortals,
right? And
the poor, the poor are just pawns, and that kind of fleshes itself out immediately. And you know, you had said off air before we started that you kind of just get jumped right into it, and it really takes you right into the show. Like, first 5 minutes is all action, and you know, I wrote down what are in the clamshells, because they're like they have like the it doesn't look like a clamshell, but it's a microchip with what looks like honeycomb on top of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what they were until we were told
It kind of like, it replaces like a bone in your neck, like a vertebrae.
Yeah, so. And it just goes right in there and it uploads your consciousness.
Right.
But then we see that there's, in my mind, I got the binary sun or binary moon future.
Yeah.
And offset, you had two moons in the background, kids running around in a dark, dingy, rainy city.
Another
futuristic, rainy shithole. And why always L.A.?
I don't know.
Or California. So this went to San Francisco. Blade Runner was in California. Yeah. And, you know, I think Maze Runner went to San Francisco, too.
I don't know.
It's
like, I think that's always, everybody thinks it's where it's all going to start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've always heard these apocalyptic things about California's just going to sink into the ocean.
Yeah, that's true.
The earthquake's going to take it out. There's a lot of wealthy mixed with a lot of poor, and like you can go from one to the other real fast in California.
Yeah,
like you can go from, you know, making $1 million movies and making $1 million paychecks to
shooting heroin on Skid Row.
Yeah. So I guess where New York is, everybody kind of intermingles at all times. California kind of has it, like, you know, you can't go certain, like the poor don't go to where the gated communities are and stuff like that. So it's kind of established already, a caste system in California, or in L.A., I guess.
Well, that makes my question stupid, because that was a perfect explanation, so thank you. We find out that Kovacs, without knowing that he's an envoy, we actually see like the abilities that he has.
Because
for the first part, I'm sitting there thinking he's the bad guy. I'm like, oh, this guy is terrible, he's a bad guy. And then you can see through the walls, and he knows, like, I think they're called Secretorians, and they look like Judge Dredd.
It's like they're
the Nova
pretty cool.
Corps. He sees 12 of them.
And they like three like bright lights. It looked like three eyes, but they're neat.
And then he shoots through the wall. Like, he can pinpoint where they are. So you get to see the abilities of the envoy. And he shoots through the wall and right through the guy's head.
Yeah.
And that's when we figure out that these people, like a zombie apocalypse, they can be rendered useless once they're shot in the head. And you can get shot in the body and your stack is 100% pure, fine. And you
Explain. I mean, it's you know, exposition, and they, like, when he comes back, he's in prison because apparently they arrest him for killing his partner.
Yeah,
but you know,
what a brutal killing that was too.
Through flashbacks, we see that didn't happen.
Looked like John Hamm.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Chelsea and I were watching, and like he was a Secretarian. Mask pops up, and he goes, "Oh, how could you do it?" He pulls her up and just shoots her in the back of the, like, in the spine.
And that's,
oh, it's awful.
That's a big thing throughout this series is people just shooting, like, so it's all headshots.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way people can, there's something called a real death, and a real death, is it real death or death, dead or something like that?
It could be either.
Yeah, I think they call it dead or real death. Real death is you can't come back from it. Like, with this stack, your consciousness is just constantly, you know, uploaded to it.
Yeah.
So what, you could get shot in the heart and die, but your stack's going to be put into a new body.
Yeah.
And
it's like if you drop your phone and the SD card's
fine, right,
you
can just plug it into your phone. It's great. It's basically an SD card. So, but if you get shot in the stack, then you're dead.
Yeah, you lose everything. You're never coming back. And the fight scene takes place in the apartment. I thought that was probably the coolest scene of the episode.
Yeah.
Just the martial arts used, even just the exposition that we saw, and then the ability to show the powers of the envoy without letting it be, like, heavy into flashbacks, you know what I mean? I thought that was a great part.
Yeah, and, you know, me and you both watched more than one episode. None of it is too action, like, they don't rely too much on it. The action's really good, so they could rely on that if they wanted to.
There's a ton of dialogue.
Yeah, the action's good, but they don't rely on it. Like, it doesn't need to have, like, it's always going to be there in the background. Like, you know, when they do something, it's going to look good. But,
yeah
it's like, it's other than that, it's like a real good detective story.
Yeah. And, you know, you have the futuristic soldiers, you have the cool apartment fights, but then you're like 15 minutes into the episode, and you don't know where Joel Kinnaman is.
Right.
And he's in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
Like, with all this goo in it, and then he emerges from his bag naked and super aggressive.
Yeah.
He had, like, a Bane mask on with a feeding tube in, and he's grabbing the
technician
or something. And breaks his nose, and then the guards come in and there's an issue.
That's where that scene, and like when we are introduced to the new replicants in Blade Runner, they look alike. That's where you could draw a comparison, is how the new bodies are made or stored or whatever.
Yeah, drop them out of a bag.
Yeah, because that's the same thing as
what Leto did.
Yeah, so
he brought them right through the ceiling, and like they had them. It looked like you were at a butcher shop, and they were just hung on racks in these bags. And they're like, all right, or dry cleaners.
Yeah.
Get your sleeve. And he slides out the one woman that the tech was not ready for what was about to happen. I think this might have been her first unveiling of a sleeve. And you get, like, Takashi Kovacs in Joel Kinnaman's body.
Yeah.
So that's where you go back to saying, you know, don't let the names fool
you. Yeah, there's... And it's, since it's one world, everybody's integrated.
They said off-world, too. Did you
get that? They had other planets
and
other star systems. They mentioned other star systems, and that's what they were saying about the envoys, is they could drop them on a planet, but they don't have to physically fly them there. They just have to have the bodies need to be there. So they could take a crew, and if there's, you know, they just set up for having bodies there, and then they just ship the
throw a stack in there.
Yeah,
jeez, I this is extremely creative. This whole series.
Yeah, I you know, it's just another Netflix thing, man. They've just been killing it.
Yeah, and you know, something came out a little more a week or a month before this did, and it was Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams.
Yeah,
and that's been getting shit on.
Really?
And then this comes out, and they're like, "Whoa, they got it right," but then Alter Carbon kind of messed up the future again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't predict the future. It goes back to what we talked about in Blade Runner. But I think they're doing a good job with what they
have. Well, that Blade Runner is based on that
electric
sheep.
Yeah. Do Android Sheep Dream?
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, and then you have Philip K. Dick doing this whole miniseries on Amazon.
Yeah,
That's not as popular as the first episode of Alter Carbon, which is surprising, because you'd think the Blade Runner fans would go right to it.
Right.
Or maybe they did and they got disappointed. I don't know. Maybe we'll do an episode on it. So,
got a lot of episodes.
Yeah. So we find out that they're in Alcatraz prison in Bay City, Earth. And then it goes to another shower scene.
Yeah.
And that's, I wrote this down, Chelsea likes his physique. Because that's when you see the V, he's super ripped. And then there's lots of various butts in that scene.
Yeah.
So I wrote the childish notes. And then we find out the skins are called sleeves. And then there are cortical stacks, is the clam shell that I wrote, with a DHF, which is a digital human framework. So that's your stacks. What do you think about the overall conception of these stacks? Is it something that we could be moving towards in the future?
I don't know. Like, it's neat to think about. Like, we always, that's always been the how we're going to live forever is, you know, we have to be downloaded into something. So they don't give us a year, I don't think, right?
No, it's all it is.
It's 250 years between.
The first 5 minutes when Tekashi dies in his shower. And
when he dies, this technology is still well established. And it's the same, it's almost the same exact technology they're using 300 years or 250 years later. So, and like the oldest people are 300 and like 60 years old, something like that.
And that is
the Meths.
Yeah. And then the Bancrofts.
Yeah. They're part of that. Yeah. They're called Meths, not because they use, but because they're called Methuselahs. Yeah. Like from the Bible.
And the way they live too is crazy.
Yeah.
Like in the clouds.
Yeah, they basically built their houses and literally above everybody else. Yeah. So
where the sun is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they live high and mighty. And then
so you think about how much is going on, like for all that to take place, and it looks like something has happened to Earth. Like because they have to get above all the trash and the garbage and the get to the sun. The sun doesn't shine on the city.
Yeah, and everything's completely digitized in the city. All the hotels, all the even just people. Like it I wrote down that the first episode was Valerian's Market.
Right.
Meets Ghost in the Shell.
Right. It was the Valerian's Market that we were asking we wanted to see.
So. Yeah, like when he takes the drug and like he we find out like the retinal I guess like you have like it's kinda like a GoPro or Skype in your eye. I don't know, he can make phone calls through
They call it the Oni.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then he's walking through the city, he comes up with like the prostitutes, and then there's people doing drugs, and then there's street fights, and that's when the cop knocks him on the back of the head.
Yeah, like, Ortega. I don't have her name.
Kristen?
Yeah.
Kristen Ortega?
Yeah, something like that.
So knocks him on the back of the head, but before we even get to that part, we're jumping ahead where we find out that Tekashi is now property of Bancroft.
Yep.
He was leased, which kind of gives you the sense that the rich can just buy whatever they want. So it's kind of like the indentured servants.
Yeah, well, yeah, they make it real clear that it's like, you know, an oligarchy. Like, the rich and the wealthy are above the law.
Yeah.
To an extent, like, the Lawrence Bancroft, the husband, who we'll get into why they're important, but he's got a pardon signed by the president of the UN that he personally went to. So, and that's, you know, that's the kind of weight and power that they carry.
Yeah. When we meet Lawrence, you know, you're like, oh, this is truly the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is he's a dick.
Yeah. And so is his wife.
Yeah.
A bigger dick.
Yeah. Who, than him. And apparently, to the rich, underwear does not exist at all. Because, like, she pops up, I'm like, what the hell is happening up here? I'm like,
She's naked all the time. Yeah. It's like when you watch like Spartacus, the TV show, like when they were talking, like show ancient Rome, like nobody wore underwear. Nobody wore anything. Like, it was just like throw something over. So
Here's a curtain. Yeah. Put this on. But the next scene after we find out that Tekashi is property of Bancroft being leased is kind of like the arrival when you leave baggage to get picked up at an airport where the family's looking for their loved ones in their new skins.
Yeah.
And we have the young couple, and this old woman walks up to him and says, "Mommy."
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when you find out what really goes on. Like, if they're like, "My 7-year-old daughter was killed by a car accident, and you promised me a free sleeve." And they're like, "Well, that is the free sleeve.
Yeah.
Save your money and buy a better one."
Yeah, I don't know. I guess what happens, if we could go through it in a way, like, they don't explain this, but I guess the sleeves age while they're being used.
Yeah.
So when they get used up and somebody dies or, you know, of a disease or whatever or something, they just get thrown away.
Yeah.
And then they can get harvested and, like, stored. And that's how, like, this poor couple who's guaranteed to have a sleeve, like, their insurance will pay for a sleeve. These are bodies. These sleeves are bodies. Like, yeah, and that happens.
Yeah.
And we'll see later on.
Like, you go from a 7-year-old to, like, a 56-year-old woman.
Right.
And completely different race.
Yeah.
Because it was an Asian family, and they're getting an older white woman.
Well, and that's what we're, you know, Tekashi or Kovacs, which are both, his name is Tekashi Kovacs, right? He starts out, when we first see him, as an Asian man, mm-hmm. And then, like, we see him as Joel Kinnaman, who's, you know.
Yeah, Sweden.
Yeah.
Swedish. And this, is not, this isn't a show that just wrote Joel Kinnaman an Asian part like they did with Ghost in a Shell for Scarlett Johansson. It's just, it just shows you that you could be anybody in this world. Yeah. You can be a small old woman, or you can be a tall child.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that where you get to see everything that goes on, and then you see that the poor are assembling their own little protests when the ICP shows up. because they were really,
I think they are
like the religious.
Yeah, I don't know if that's explained a lot in episode one, but there are religious people. There's a bill trying to be passed called 563 or 263. And what that bill is that if you get killed, and this bill says if you get killed, you're allowed to access the memories of the dead. Mm-hmm. And the dead can live on inside of a virtual reality.
Yeah, we see that a little bit later in the episode.
So they could access the dead before they're put to rest, before they're like, because they have the option, like if you're a Christian, we find out Catholics and Christians don't want to be basically reincarnated into a new body. Once they die, they just want to stay dead. So, but this bill says, you know, the dead can testify against the living. Oh, so, you know, they can come back and
get retribution.
Yeah, just for a minute, they can be accessed and say, hey, you know, do you want to testify and tell us who did this to you?
Where would you stand on that whole bill?
I mean, it's a weird. Yeah, I guess you. The universe needs to be fleshed out a little bit more for me to really understand. Because, like, this is only episode one. We don't that it's explained, but they don't really explain like the ramifications of bringing the dead back. Personally, I would like. I would want to be brought back. I'd want to be a Methuselah forever. Yeah, me too. It'd be cool.
We're growing the beards like we're Methuselah. Yeah. So we're halfway there.
But you know, I don't know, like I'm not religious, so I can't say that I have anything against it, but I mean forcing the dead to testify, you know, if that goes against somebody's religious right or religious, you know, I guess that's wrong.
Yeah.
So but, yeah. I mean, I think that's what that is it kind of forces them.
Yeah, well, you saw some of the protesters had signs that said souls, not sleeves.
Yeah.
Which gives them a sense, like, yeah, there is still a higher power established in the future.
Right.
That some people are still following that. And to me, I wrote down that it is a very Blade Runner future with the raininess, and it's dingy, and it's dark, and it's not very good.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Blade Runner like. I don't know.
Or is that just future thinking?
I think it's like the, you know, I thought when we were talking about the Bad Ideas episode, dystopia might be a, in general, overused idea. And that's what it is. I mean,
hey, you don't know where to go with it.
Right.
Like, and if everything's, what if it's not a nuclear war that takes us out, or like, it could be something else that doesn't lead to complete rebuilding.
Is this like, is what's happened? Because we do see, like, we're talking about the Meths, the Lawrence, Bancrofts live above everybody.
Yeah.
And that's, there's just, what as far as we could see, it's cloud cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go above that into their house, so.
Yeah. And we see the flying cars, so there's another future with flying cars.
Yeah. But, I mean, something had to have caused this cloud cover to cover everything.
And I would like that to be explained. They go higher than the skyscrapers into what looks like houses on scaffolding.
Yeah.
And then the clouds are right there. So, and like these are mansions.
Yeah. And they had the trees that.
Yeah.
That's what makes me think this might be thousands of years in the future.
Yeah. Trees and water.
Yeah.
Like they had fountains up there and plumbing.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to get plumbing in the clouds?
Yeah. But they had those trees that they were talking about that were, you know, lived to be.
Yeah, the Miriam, she collects the ancient civilization art.
Yeah, and they said there's like some of them get to be a couple kilometers tall.
Yeah.
And so, I mean.
And that comes back in.
Maybe that's from another planet.
Yeah, but I mean, that comes back in the book that Lawrence has and shows Kovacs. It's an ancient book, 250 years in the past, and those trees are on there.
Yeah.
And that's when...
It's written by Quelles Falconer.
Yeah, the woman that we continue to be flashed back to.
Yeah.
And there's posters of her still. It's kind of like she's the resistance.
But. Yeah. That was episode where he goes and looks at, like... And he's talking about, you know, the winners write the history books. And
yeah.
He's from that time, and he fought with her and was trained by her. And the way that they've been twisting it is that, you know, he was the bad guy, she was the bad guy, and
yeah.
she was just a ruthless criminal.
And they were the rebels.
Yeah.
And in this scene, we find out that Lawrence has the pardon.
Yeah.
And Joel Kinnaman says, no, you know, I just want to go back on ice.
Right.
And that's throughout half the part. He wants to go back on ice. And he says, you know what, take the night. Lawrence says, take the night to go feel what it's like to live again. So what does he do? Gets a bunch of drugs and tries to find a bunch of hookers.
Virtual hookers.
Yeah.
I guess that's what he was looking for in that hotel.
Yeah. And then that's when we find out, like, the Oculus kind of Rift kind of deal where you can see everything through your eye. And it's all, like, all the holograms are there. And
yeah.
He goes in. We walk past Edgar Allan Poe, who has like a python wrapped around him, and
two
naked hookers, and he keeps walking, doing more drugs. Then he comes into contact with Kristen again, puts the dampener on his back. Then he goes back to the Raven, which is the aptly named Edgar Allan Poe hotel. And then we find out that there's hitman after him. He's only been alive, reanimated for
less
hours.
Than hours. Yeah,
and he's in this hotel talking to Poe.
He's getting a room from Edgar Allan Poe, and he's going to get prostitutes.
Yeah, and he picked the silent one.
Yeah.
with a bag of tricks. That Edgar Allan Poe says, and then a group of mercenaries come in, hitmen, and that scene was really cool with the hotel scene as well, because Edgar Allan Poe is sitting there like, "Listen, I'm going to cater to all the customers' need. You just have to." Press this.
Yeah, screen. You have to pay.
Yeah, and Joel Kinnaman doesn't pick up on it for a bit, and he's just letting these hitmen whoop his ass, and then he's like, 50 seconds, and that's when he's working his way back, and then presses the screen, and machine guns come out of the ceiling. Edgar Allan Poe turns into, like, Moses Lack from The Simpsons, pumps a shotgun, and then all hell breaks loose in the episode, and it kills all the
mercs.
Yeah.
And he tries to save one, but it doesn't work. But.
Yeah. And then we're in the second...
Well, they say about the hotels that they set this up that the reason nobody goes to these AI hotels anymore, and that's what the Raven is, and it is an artificial intelligent hotel, is it's a virtual reality hotel and an AI hotel, is like they're just real needy. Like they become a needy girlfriend. Like they become real possessive of whoever's staying there. And that's what it clicks in his mind, like, oh, as soon as I'm here, they're going to do everything they can to make me happy and protect me.
Yeah.
So that's why he knew that he needed to pay his bill for them to kill him.
It was a good idea to make sure you pay your bill, because you don't want to mess with Edgar Allan Poe in that future. But this is the second time that we realize that you can clone your sleeve and just add a fake consciousness into it, because Lawrence and his whole family have clones.
Yeah, like a...
Like a vault of them.
Yeah.
Even that stupid son of his, Isaac, that gets picked up...
For a TUI.
Yeah. And he doesn't really return in that episode. But he's in every single episode. Like, he's one of the... On IMDb, he's one of the first
ones. He's like the third one listed or something like that.
And he's... Oh, I hate him. I already hate him. Watching three episodes, I've hated him. So we find out that the hitmen were able to switch their consciousness into a clone as well. And one of them was... I believe Russian.
Yeah, he's Dimitri. Called like Dimitri or Dim the Twin.
Yeah,
because the way he sets up, he's always got a clone of his stack.
Yeah,
and a clone of his body set up. So you never like you need to arrest the two of them, because as soon as one stack goes, the other one I guess is activated or something like that.
Which is crazy, because that stack didn't look like he didn't get shot in the stack. It didn't seem like it looked like it just burned out. Like once the sleeve it's. Looked like it was wired that when the sleeve dies, the stack fries.
Yeah,
because I mean they were the Ortega and her partner were like, well, we finally have him, like we can pin him on this.
Yeah,
and no, we can't, because that's what's happening.
And everybody, it's kind of neat, and I like how they don't you know, we were talking about for our Bad Ideas episode Everybody's speaking the same language, no matter what planet you're on. Everybody here speaks English for the most part, but will slip into their native language.
Yeah.
And everybody understands it. Like, there's no...
Yeah.
Like...
Ortega goes
Ortega's right. Spanish, uh-huh. and her partner's Arabic.
Yep.
Some from... I don't know which one. It just is Arabic.
Yeah, he comes out and says it, I think in like episode two, that he's Muslim. Like, I'm, okay. he's like, I'm Muslim, not a monk.
Yeah.
It's one of his lines.
So, but he slips into Arabic when he's talking to her, and she slips into Spanish, but there's no, like, language barrier.
Yeah.
They understand it.
Yeah, they're talking back to each other in like, different
and tongues. And Chinese, like, the Russian guy, Dimitri, speaks Russian, and everybody gets it. Like, so everybody must understand all languages, and they just use them whenever they feel
like
it.
Yeah, when they're in their native, like, with their countrymen, I guess.
Yeah.
But we go back. We got to go back because I skipped something that's very important. The murder that Kovac has to solve is the murder of Lawrence Bancroft.
Lawrence Bancroft hired Kovac's...
Well, leased him.
Leased him to solve his own murder.
Yeah.
That he says he didn't commit, and he says his wife didn't commit. They're the only two people that could have done it because they're the only two people that have access. But I know that sounds convoluted, and it kind of is. I don't... And it's just because of the way the system's set up. Like, he has a satellite upload that he could upload his consciousness in. He gave a time frame.
Yeah, I think it was like 10 minutes from when the satellite was going to hit his consciousness to take his data to the cloud.
So, yeah, his consciousness is uploaded like every 10 minutes. So there is only a 10-minute window where he could be killed and not remember how he was killed.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
And boom, shot in the head. Right in his library.
Yeah.
His four-story library, where he has all ancient books and...
It looked like an M.C. Escher painting, the library.
Yeah. And he had the painting... not the painting, I'm sorry. He had the pardon on the table, and that's where he says, you know, solve my murder.
Right.
And I'll let you go. I'll give you, 50 million U.N. Credits.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's a lifetime for you. And he's like, no, I'm going to go on ice. And back to hookers and prostitutes.
And, he says you have an unlimited credit line to solve the murder.
Yeah.
Then once you do solve the murder...
50 million.
I'll give you 50 million that's your pay.
Now, after watching the first one, take the last one out, because I'm sure you already know. Who do you think killed?
Let's see. After seeing the first one... I accidentally watched the last one, so I know what happens, but it makes sense to go after the terrorist groups that he does, but he makes quick work of saying that's not them.
Yeah.
Like, he basically breaks it all down and tells you that it's not those terrorist groups that have... And I'm leaning towards Isaac.
Okay.
His son. Because he just seems like he doesn't like anybody. He just seems like a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Who knows why he would have done it, but I lean towards that somebody in that family, but, you know, why would, you know, who would know about the 10-minute window?
Yeah.
Who would know when it happens? I don't know.
So. It's a woman. I think it's I don't know her name, but I think it's a woman that is trying to get close with the family, and there's a scene in a later episode where she says, I worked so hard to get an invite and not become the help. So I think that she killed him and was going to try and take what she could, and then he came back as a clone, and she was like, shit. But I could definitely see Isaac. I mean, the scorned son is...
But just because he doesn't have a lot of depth in the first episode.
No.
He's just an asshole.
Yeah.
He got arrested for a DUI... And his mom sent him to go pick up Kovacs.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a chauffeur. I don't want to leave that for these other scumbags.
Yeah, and the police came and stole his limo.
Yeah.
And
crash landed on the property.
That was awful. And then the whole interrogation scene on there. But I think I could see him killing his dad, too, just because he doesn't... Maybe he is like a sleeper rebel, like one of the religious zealots that doesn't want
to... Yeah, well, that could always be. I mean... Rich kid, but is he going to mingle with the people down there?
I mean, he's going down there and getting drunk.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is he going to like these virtual hotels and just banging hookers and leaving?
Was it the first episode where they talk about he just settled a deal for $400 billion It's gonna or something like that.
Maybe
or they make it. It's gonna make so that's to establish like what how much wealth they're talking about. Like yeah. it's gonna give their company $400 billion.
Do they say what the company's name is? Is it just called? Oh, it's Bancroft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bancroft Industries.
Yeah.
Not the Bancroft School in New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's definitely a villainous name, though, Bancroft.
Yeah, like it does sound feel like it has a little, like, you know, you could tell a British name when you hear it, like
yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
Bancroft's kind of like yeah, it makes that sense that yeah. it's an evil.
And he, like, I mean, Lawrence has the face of an evil villain. I feel like they're responsible for the clone, the sleeves. Like they're the
yeah, that might come up
distribution.
Of it's just the way they don't. They're bad guys, and there's a class system, and they're happy to like to exist in that class system, and they're like they. That's why I think they're pretty good bad guys because they're just kind of like relishing in being shitheads.
Yeah,
like they know that they could everything that they want is bought and paid for, and they kind of basically talk a bit like it's kind of a little over the top in a way, but like they just you know they live in that caste system. They yeah. like it. They tell people about it.
And they love being the top dog. They don't yeah. have a problem with anything. They
yeah.
There's some stuff that it's hard for me to not talk about it the next yeah. three episodes, and I'm sure it's hard for you to not talk about the ending. But there's stuff that shows just how rich they are and like how the rich really.
Yeah.
Just don't give a fuck yeah. when it comes to the other poor caste system. What did you think of the overall tone of, like, the digital world that they kind of live in?
That was pretty cool. I mean, you're talking about, like, when Poe goes to play his poker game.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I kind of like what the first episode did. They just touch on a lot of stuff, but they keep it moving. And they keep you asking, what is this about now? And yeah. that's kind of what they did with this digital... Like, this digital world or these digital people have existed for a long time. So, and they know what goes on, like, they're real, like, in the real world. So, it's yeah. pretty neat the way they, but I mean, for all of them, I think, they are all basically brothels.
Yeah.
I think it all breaks down to.
It's Bangkok.
Yeah.
That's all what I could liken it to.
Yeah.
And Poe's digital friends are like, you need to get out of the digital business.
Yeah.
Like, you need to start selling skins.
Yeah.
Or you need to, like, trap your... I think their whole thing is, like, you're going to take care of your guests, and then we're going to kill them, sell their skin.
Yeah. At least they make it seem like that. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
So the last thing we can talk about is the cops really not doing their job. Overall, there's a scene when we go to the hotel, and Dimitri's already killed, and they're trying to steal his stack, and Ortega's partner says, you know, you've shot stacks for less.
Yeah.
What do you make of the cops in our...
It seems like that the cops have a role in, like, just, you know, quelling the small town or, like, the street-level problems.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like... Because they do, you know, they do take... take Kovacs to Bancroft's house, but that's about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like the meth seem they're like they are untouchable by the
yeah,
police.
Yeah, well, when Ortega drops Kovacs off there, Miriam comes out and says, listen, I could have you shot on sight.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a cop, I can have you shot on sight. So they're security guards to make sure that
right.
nothing makes it up to the top, I guess.
Yeah, It's definitely this is about, like, I don't know, it's about caste systems.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately it comes down to, like, the poor versus the rich.
Mm-hmm.
There is no middle ground. You either are, you're poor or you're rich or, well, super wealthy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and, like, basically it seems like everybody in a way works for the super wealthy.
Yeah.
And the super wealthy can get away with anything they want.
Yeah.
Damn. We don't see, like... You know, we don't see anybody interfering with the Bancrofts in any mm-hmm. way.
No, they're the chess masters. It goes yeah. back to the original summary that the poor are untouchable, they're immortal, and the rest of the people are
pawns. And, you know, there are some allusions that the cop Ortega is kind of frustrated by all this. And
yeah.
you know, it's going to, it looks like she's going to want to figure all this out and like
partner up with Kovacs.
Yeah. You know, it looks like that's the direction it's going in. You know, they spend the most time on screen together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She's second on the call sheet.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the detective in Punisher.
Yeah.
Where she wanted nothing to do with anything, just wanted to catch Frank. And then Frank's like, listen, we can go back and we can save the city. But it takes her getting shot and all this fun stuff to happen. The last thing that I have, and I haven't seen it play out in the three episodes that I'm in, I want to see a black market for the stacks and the sleeves. Like, I want those poor families to, like, there to be, like, a bookie. Or, yeah. Like, a, you know, a loan shark that would be like, hey, I can front you this stack, but you have to do something for me. I want to see, like, more of that underbelly to see if that happens.
Well, we do see that you can buy better bodies.
Yeah.
And, like, you see, like...
But you can buy them from, like, a store. Like, I want to see people going in to those stores and stealing the,
okay,
the
yeah.
sleeves and the
yeah.
stacks and saying, like, this, if you don't want to be you, like, or, you know, you want to, I don't know, if they're saving their consciousness, we can clone your consciousness, and this is what we have, but for a larger
right,
chunk,
right.
But less than what the Bancroft industry would sell it.
Yeah, it seems like they're friends that they, where they keep their cloned bodies. Yeah. They have a, if a system exists for the wealthy, it's going to exist for the poor in yeah. some way, you know. Yeah. Technology is always cloned and adapted for the, you know, for everybody.
Yeah, but
and abused. So
yeah, but the Bancrofts are shopping at Nordstrom's while the rest of the people are shopping at the Goodwill and just yeah. trying to pick together whatever sleeves they could. I'd also like to see like a hybrid sleeve where it's like parts of different people just put in the one.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Where they, you know, you're bound to get body parts that.
Well, just when wash we see up. Him going through the alleyways when he gets high. You do see him inter like you, they show the
like the mutated fighters.
Yeah, so maybe they're
yeah. The one guy had like a horn, right?
Yeah,
like, maybe or like a fin on his head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they exist. I don't know if they're sleeves or if they're just the AIs. So
I don't know. I'd like to see more body mods too. I mean, we're in the future, you know. Yeah. Body mods that have to exist. Oh, we do see a body mod later in the series. Spoilers, but you do see a kind of a body mod
with the stripper.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the bodyguard of the stripper.
Oh he no, like I was talking about the stripper that changed her appearance.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
She was, I think she was live, right?
Yeah.
So it's a kind of an iffy thing too. We're existing. That's where you know, I get this Total Recall vibe from it. Is it exists in two worlds? Yeah. Like it, some of it exists in AI and VR.
Yeah.
And then some of it exists in the real world, and like you can move between the two pretty easily. So yeah. It's like, what's VR? What's AI? What's, you know, a clone? And this, so there's a lot of levels to it, but I still think it did a pretty good job of, you know, keeping a clear story that you have to follow.
Yeah, this isn't Blade Runner confusing to us where we needed to understand what was going on. This is something you should pay close attention to because there's little granules that you might miss.
Yeah.
But it's not something that's going to lose your attention. So
right.
You're not going to be glued to your phone and be like, oh, it's background noise. This is something that we watched the first one, Chelsea and I was like, let's just keep watching. She's like, oh, absolutely. So yeah. We just continued.
And that's the thing is like, there's a main storyline that carries out pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you miss something in the background, you don't necessarily miss any aspect of the main storyline. Like, there's nothing so important going on that yeah. it's going to ruin the show for you. So
yeah, and you're able to, like, the characters aren't just one shots. They get
yeah.
they get reintroduced throughout each episode, as far as I know, and the three episodes that I've watched and the two and a half that you've watched. But I definitely recommend this to sci-fi yeah, fans. I think definitely. It's personally, I like the first episode better than I like Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, yeah, and it's fun to watch. The visuals are good, and in Netflix style, it's binged.
Yep, and the acting's not bad.
No.
No, I don't think there was any, like, forced acting. And
yeah.
Joel Kinnaman plays the dicky scumbag.
Yeah.
He plays him well.
Yeah.
And this is another good role for him. Yeah, it's kind of, if you like The Killing, this is like Future Killing, where he's just a detective that kicks ass.
Yeah.
Essentially, but he's trying to earn his freedom.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I think he's going to get typecast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his look, but I think he's going to be able to pull it off. Yeah. And the thing about him, I don't think he's ever going to be huge, but this could be big for him because this is getting pretty good reviews from the audience and from critics. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, like, the a la carte television is really killing it. They're doing better than... I don't watch regular TV at this point. Like, I mean, I'm barely watching it for, like, CW stuff I'm watching.
Yeah, same here.
It's like, I watch Amazon, like, their original stuff. I watch a few of their shows, and now I'll probably watch this. And,
yep.
But, man, it's...
Gives you reason to cut the cord, man. Yeah. It definitely does. That's just, I'm at the
point. Soon as Tesla gives us free, you know... free high-speed internet, then I'll be right there cutting the cords.
Yeah, if Tesla gives us high-speed internet and Amazon finally comes through and gives us lower health insurance, like, you know, there's no cable for me. I don't need it. But the last thing we need you to do is to follow us on all of our social medias. We're on Twitter, The Grays, Thegrys. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud under the Galaxy Wars Podcast. And next week is going to be a surprise episode because... frankly, we don't know what we're going to do next week. So we'll be back next week with another great episode. Go watch Altered Carbon, and hit us up in all the social media to let us know what you thought of the first episode. See ya.
Bye.